his business.
I care about them,
Hans said.
We don't get paid if we bring back bodies.
But even as he said it, he was surprised to find the words ringing false in his own ears, to feel an uncomfortable twinge in his chest. Remembering that moment of white-hot fear when the Dianoga had pulled Luke under, and how terror had cracked the princess's tough armor when she thought they'd be crushed. Han couldn't help but acknowledge the quiet feeling that had been sneaking up on him. He did care. They say battle can form unbreakable bonds between soldiers. But Han realized it wasn't the fighting itself. It was that they had worked together, that they'd made it through to the other side. In a few hours, he'd come to understand Luke better than he did some of his smuggling buddies he'd known for years. Chewie growled another question, all innocence. He stroked a hand down over Han's head, but the smuggler brushed it off.
No, he whispered, pointing at the Wookiee. Dump that thought right now. We aren't going to join up and get ourselves killed for nothing.
Join the rebellion? It wasn't so much the idea of the fight that had Han's head pounding. What Chewie was talking about was investing in a cause, and making a commitment for their future, being tied to some idea. Chewie crossed his arms over his chest. You're better than this, he said.
You really think so?
Han asked. Sometimes he didn't feel better than that. Sometimes he felt like the biggest coward on that side of the galaxy.
You're right, he admitted. I wouldn't have left them.
Han had been called a lot of things in his life. Scum, scoundrel, smuggler. But he wasn't heartless. Chewie's rumbling reply brought a faint smile to his lips.
I like the kid too. But unless he wants to come with us, we're splitting with both him and the princess after this. We have to get Jabba off our backs. Otherwise, there is no future for us.
A new burst of blaster fire announced Luke and Leia's arrival in the hangar. Han jumped to his feet and ran toward them.
Get to the ship,
he cried, trying to take out at least a few of the stormtroopers on his way. Out of the corner of his eye, he caught the hangar's floodlights glinting off the droid's metallic skin. They scurried forward, toward the Falcon's ramp.
Luke, let's go!
Han shouted, tugging at the kid's arm. Luke's feet were fixed to the ground, something like shock pouring over his face. He turned to look where Luke pointed to another set of open blast doors. Two figures, one as black and shiny as a smear of oil, the other, hooded in a thick brown cloak, circled each other. Their lightsabers vibrated in their hands, as different from each other as their owners were. One was sky blue, the other crimson, like burning blood.
So that was Darth Vader, huh?
Always terrifying to realize rumors weren't exaggerated. The man, creature, thing, was a giant, towering over the old man. His armor looked thick enough to keep him alive even in the freezing vacuum of space. The lights on his chest panel flickered the way a droid's would. The swords hissed and sizzled as they clashed. Ben and Darth Vader danced around each other like seasoned fighters, lost in their own world. Han realized he was staring as hard as the kid and tried again to tug him back toward the ship. The stormtroopers who had chased Luke and Leia into the hangar had turned their attention to the sword fight. Ben looked over, the trooper's approach catching his attention. Then he looked past them, to where Luke was standing dumbstruck, to Han. Han couldn't be sure. The old man was just too far away. But he thought Ben might have given him a nod just before he turned back to face Darth Vader. Ben drew his blade in and made no effort to stop Vader's lightsaber from slashing through him. But instead of his body falling to pieces, an empty cloak fell to the ground. It was like the old man had just disappeared. One last magic trick.
Han shook his head, the hair on the back of his neck rising. Maybe not magic at all.
No!
Luke yelled. Han hooked an arm across the kid's chest and started to drag him away. For a second,
He really thought the kid might make a run for Vader. Luke's anger and disbelief rolled off him.
Luke, we have to get out of here!
Leia shouted from the bottom of the ramp. The stormtroopers opened fire on her, forcing her to duck and run into the safety of the ship. Luke spun around one last time and fired a shot. Not at Darth Vader, but at the controls to the blast doors. They slammed shut, just as Vader and the stormtroopers began to charge toward them.
We have to go, kid, Han told him, before they fix the tractor beam.
That snapped Luke out of his daze long enough for them to board the Falcon. Han raced toward the cockpit, where Chewie was already revving up the engine. He didn't realize Luke hadn't followed him until he looked over his shoulder through the door and saw the princess comforting him. Han punched the controls, and they had hit open space before he took his next breath.
All right, Chewie,
he said as TIE fighters roared toward them in the distance. Only four. He reached up, stroking his ship affectionately.
She might have taken a knocking, but she would never let him down when it counted.
We're coming up on the sentry ships. Hold them off as long as you can. Angle the deflector shields while I charge up the main guns.
Chewie roared his agreement, reaching up to flip through the switches. Han left his seat so fast it spun behind him. For the longest time, if anyone asked Han why he was traveling alone, he'd give them the same line.
The name says it all. Solo.
And then he'd met Chewie, and suddenly that didn't apply anymore. The Wookiee knew, even if Han couldn't admit it to himself, that what scared Han wasn't putting his heart into a cause that would fail. It was losing the individuals he opened his heart to. He wasn't free, not yet. Not until he dealt with Jabba and repaid his debt. Even after, he'd never be like Luke. He wasn't meant to be a hero. But Han was beginning to suspect that he wasn't meant to just be a petty smuggler either. The new friends he'd made had shown him that much.
The old man would laugh if he knew Han was thinking it, but it was some strange stroke of luck. Destiny, Ben would say, that had brought their little group together.
He ran toward the central hold to rally Luke to head to the gun ports, already imagining the weight of the ship's large blaster as it swung around and he took aim. Han knew losing themselves in another fight would be the best way for both him and the kid to burn off the sting of being forced to stand by helplessly as Ben was cut down. The old man had sacrificed himself to save them. And it had taken seeing that for Han to question what would have happened if their situations had been reversed, and he'd been the one in the position to make a sacrifice. Would he have done it? He wanted to believe that yes, he would have. The thought made his chest feel tight. How incredible that, of all people, it was the old man who'd upended his universe, made him see the truth about himself with one selfless act of courage. Han wasn't the best guy in the galaxy, or the smartest, or even the most honest, and he wasn't sure he knew what he had done to deserve these friends. But for now, it was enough he wasn't flying solo anymore. The Farm Boy. Chapter 14.
I can't believe he's gone.
Those were the only words running through Luke's head, caught in some horrible loop as the ship lurched into space.
I can't believe he's gone.
He slumped onto the bench by the game board on the Millennium Falcon, his legs finally giving out under him.
Luke couldn't bring himself to move.
He couldn't close his eyes either,
not without seeing the way Ben had looked just before. He's dead, Luke thought. Why can't I say it? Why did he have to keep seeing the way Ben had deactivated his lightsaber and hadn't tried to stop him? Darth Vader. The name hissed through Luke's mind like smoke, making the hairs on the backs of his arms rise. Just seeing the man, the thing, had been enough to make Luke feel as if he were drenched in ice. The shock had left Luke useless as a droid with its circuits fried. That was after Ben had told him that Vader had killed his father. Vader had now taken another person from him. Luke gripped the edge of the game board so hard he was sure the surface would crack. There was no one, nothing in the galaxy he hated more than Darth Vader. He felt himself begin to shake, tears again threatening to spill over. Luke stubbornly scrubbed at his face. What good would crying do? Even as the fury poured through him, its flames were doused by poisonous fear every time he pictured the stark lines of the monster's mask. What had Ben called him? That's right, a Sith. One who relied on the dark side of the Force instead of embracing the light. Ben had promised that the Force had a plan for everything, that it guided their course through life. But how could the Force have let that happen? Why did evil have to win and win and win again? Luke knew he was supposed to trust in it, but mostly all he felt was hopeless. Vader had beaten Ben, a legendary warrior, a Jedi master. What would happen if Luke ever came face to face with the Sith? If he hunted Luke down, looking for the droids, looking for the princess? Luke had had a few hours of training. Ben had had decades. And still, Vader had cut the Jedi Master down with a single blow, leaving nothing. Because as impossible as it seemed, at the moment the black-armored warrior had sliced his crimson lightsaber through Ben, the Jedi Master had disappeared, vanished. Why? And Luke shook his head. He had to have imagined it. But he could have sworn that in the second after he felt his heart stop, and before Han had grabbed him, he had heard Ben's voice inside his mind. "Run, Luke, run." But that was insane, wasn't it? That kind of thing just didn't happen. Ben would have been speaking to him as a spirit? The shiver that crawled over his skin was chased away by the poncho someone draped over his shoulders right then. Luke looked up from where he'd rested his face against his arms to find Leia watching him. The person he saw was an entirely different Leia from the haughty princess who'd taken one look at him after he'd opened her cell and said,
"Aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper?"
She was a different Leia from the one who'd blasted out the garbage chute and the one who'd thrown her arms around him in relief when they'd gotten out. He liked that about her. She wasn't at all what he had expected. He was a little ashamed, actually, to admit that he'd really thought the princess would swoon in relief at the sight of him coming to save her. She'd rescued them from her own rescue. Luke heaved out a sigh, gratefully accepting the poncho. He wanted to say something, even just thank you. But every word seemed to catch in his throat.
"There wasn't anything you could have done. Still, I'm so sorry,"
she said, kneeling down next to him.
"That was General Kenobi, wasn't it? From what my father told me of him, he was a great man."
Luke nodded, a numbness settling in at his center. He'd known Ben for only a day, and yet even he'd been able to see that Ben was a great man. But there was still so much about the Jedi he didn't know, and he hadn't actually given Luke any details about his life. Not really. Something about that made Luke feel betrayed, and it brought his anger back up to a simmer beneath his skin. "I followed you," Luke thought, surprised at the flash of rage that sliced through him. "I lost everything and followed you. You promised that you'd teach me, Ben." And now, what? How would he teach himself? The lightsaber clipped to his belt felt cold and heavy. Guilt and fear sat in his stomach, knocking its contents around, making him feel sick.
"You must learn to control your emotions," Otherwise, they will control you.
Ben had told him that when Luke was training with his lightsaber. All these things he was feeling now were tied to the dark side of the Force. Luke hadn't understood at the time how that was possible, but now he saw how easy it would be to sink into his own helpless fury, to get lost and never come out of it. Blast it! What am I doing? Luke said, sitting up. You just lost your whole planet.
Loss is still loss,
Leia said, her voice tight. She glanced away.
We just can't let it beat us. We have things to do.
How are you so okay? He asked. I feel like in the past day I've lost my only family, and now Ben. I've never been off my home world before. Now I'm a million kilometers away from it. It's like I've been knocked out of orbit, and I don't know how to get right side up again. How do you do it?
A wave of pain crossed Leia's face. She bit her lip, drawing in a deep breath.
I want to cry, all the time, every moment. But I know that if I start, I won't be able to stop. And that's not useful right now. Our situations aren't the same, but I do know what you're feeling right now. What it's like to feel alone.
Even though you're surrounded by strangers? Luke finished for her.
Exactly,
Leia said, squeezing his arm.
The expression on her face was still so heartbroken. Luke wanted to do something, anything to make her feel better. But even he knew that was impossible. She did understand. And so did he.
You were the one who found the droids, right?
Luke looked up at the sudden question.
Yeah, we bought them off Jawas, these desert scavengers, to work on my uncle's farm. I found your message on the little guy while I was trying to clean him.
And you went off to find General Kenobi because of it?
Well,
Luke rubbed the back of his neck, still a little embarrassed about being outsmarted by an astromech droid.
R2 ran away to find him. 3PO and I found him, and then Ben found us, just as we were being attacked by sand people. Saved us all. While I was gone, stormtroopers came to the farm looking for the droids, and killed Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru when they didn't find them.
Leia pulled back, looking stricken.
Luke, I can't even begin to tell you how sorry I am. All of this, it's all because of me. I was so desperate to get the plans to General Kenobi, I wasn't even thinking.
No, Leia,
Luke said, resting his hands on her shoulders.
The only people responsible for my family and Ben's deaths are the Empire. Vader. I wish it didn't have to happen the way it did, but they didn't die for nothing. Getting the information you found to the Rebellion is all that matters now.
Leia looked down, rolling her shoulders back as she took in another steadying breath.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah, of course.
She smoothed out the wrinkles in the fabric of her dress, running her fingers along the watery lines of the new stains.
Why did you rescue me?
Why wouldn't I have?
Luke asked, confused. Was he just supposed to leave her there for the Empire to execute?
You could have left once the tractor beam was disabled. I'm sure that's the plan our friend the captain was pulling for. You didn't have to risk being caught. General Kenobi could have brought the information to the Rebellion.
Luke was almost offended that she would think he was capable of just walking away.
Because you needed help, that's why. You don't need a reason to help people.
Leia looked up at that, and Luke saw a flicker of something in her eyes. Her face seemed alive with color again.
You asked before about how I hold it together?
Luke nodded. He needed some way to keep going without constantly falling back on his anger. He couldn't disrespect Ben's memory by ignoring what the Jedi had tried to teach him. He needed a way out of his cycle of hatred, and Leia seemed to have found one.
I think about when I was very young, running wild through the palace, playing hide-and-seek with my mother and father.
She let out a faint laugh, smiling at the memory.
They were both so busy and important. They had the weight of the universe on their shoulders, but they still had this great, huge capacity for fun and love. And hope. They never gave up on the idea that the galaxy could be a safe, beautiful place for all life. Joining the rebellion finally let me have a real voice, a real way to fight for the changes I believed in. Now, fighting alongside them will be my way of honoring my parents and my people. It gives me a reason to push through and keep going. And maybe it'll be the same for you.
Luke had run through such a range of emotions over the previous few days. Horror at the loss of his family, the exhilaration of finally flying in space, the frustration of training, the terror of being shot at and trying to outrun and outgun the Empire. But at Leia's words, he felt something new. Hope. "Yeah," he said slowly. "I think I'd like that." And when Leia offered him a tentative smile, he was finally able to return it. At that moment, Han burst into the central hold area, face flushed and hair wild.
"Come on, buddy," he said. "We're not out of this yet. I need your help. You keep saying you can fly and shoot? Well, now's the time to prove it."
Luke was exhausted, wrung out by the day, but that sounded right up his alley. He passed the poncho back to Leia with a grateful look and said to Han, "Show me where." Han grinned, slapping Luke's back. Luke followed him through the ship at a run to a ladder well at the center of the ship. At each end of the ladder was a gun port.
"Just aim and fire, and try to keep up with me, if you can."
A trill of excitement finally found its way into Luke as he slid down the ladder. He'd seen from the outside of the ship that there were two long gun turrets, one on the top of the ship, the other below.
"We'll see about that."
Luke hopped into the seat behind the gun and picked up the headset hooked over it.
"You in, kid?"
Han's voice came through the headphones.
"Yeah, I read," Luke said.
He relaxed just a little bit when he saw the actual controls. While he had a viewport window to look through, there was also a target screen. Dozens of red blips were swarming toward the green one that represented the Falcon. He seized control of the laser gun's handles and swung the heavy thing around on its stand. Still, this was going to be a lot different from shooting womp rats in Beggar's Canyon. Even he knew that. But he wasn't about to let Han or the others down. Luke moved his thumbs over the firing buttons. Ready.
"Okay, stay sharp,"
Han said. Leia must have gone into the cockpit with Chewbacca, because her voice filtered into his ears next.
"Here they come."
He heard the TIE fighters before he saw them streak past the viewport like shooting stars. The sound was piercing, as if the ship's engines were screaming.
"Ack!"
Despite how calm he felt, Luke jumped at the sudden sound, his thumbs hitting the firing buttons. "Yikes!" He forced himself to stop choking the controls and take actual aim before beginning to fire again. The gun sprayed out a line of laser beams, chasing the ships across the sky and back again without a single hit. The Millennium Falcon bucked like an angry dewback as it took the TIE fighter's fire. Luke was sure he smelled smoke, but kept that bit of information to himself as another three Imperial ships appeared. When they hit the Falcon again, Luke was nearly thrown out of his seat.
"They're coming in too fast,"
he said between gritted teeth. Sweat made his hair stick to his face, his tunic hug his back. The sound of an explosion somewhere overhead and a cheer from Han was the only response Luke got. So he had hit one. Luke set his shoulders, focusing on the ships again. He wasn't going to let Han get all the glory.
"We've lost lateral controls,"
Leia reported.
"Don't worry, she'll hold together,"
Han said. But he forgot to mute himself when he added under his breath,
"You hear me, baby? Hold together."
Somehow, Luke felt himself relaxing into the fight. It wasn't all that different from the way he'd felt handling his lightsaber. His racing heart settled into a steady rhythm. "I'm doing this," he thought. "Really doing it."
He was anticipating which direction the gleaming black and silver TIE fighters would come from, their evasive maneuvers, until finally, the explosion of fiery dust from the destroyed Imperial ship momentarily blinded Luke. The thrill of victory raced through him, lifting him higher than he had thought possible. He pumped a fist in the air. I got him! I got him!
Great kid!
Han said as he hit another TIE fighter, sending it spiraling into space like a smoking comet.
Don't get cocky!
It didn't even bother Luke anymore that Han, who couldn't have been more than 10 years older than Luke, would not stop calling him kid. It had set Luke's teeth on edge the first few times, mostly because it had reinforced everything Luke had hated about his life on Tatooine. He had felt as if he were never going to grow up, never going to move on, as if he'd always be living out in the deep desert with his aunt and uncle and a group of friends at Anchorhead he wasn't totally sure even liked him. Because seriously, who gave someone they liked the nickname Wormy? Luke had applied for the Imperial Academy a few months before, hoping that would be the year Uncle Owen stopped acting like Luke was crucial to running their little moisture farm and let him go. There were moments Luke had really believed he would never break through the sunset colors of Tatooine's atmosphere. Now, the thought of it just made Luke grin. Because even as a kid, he and his best friend Biggs had flown through the craggy teeth of Beggar's Canyon in their T-16 Skyhoppers. He clipped his ship's wings so many times, it was a wonder he was still alive. But he hadn't stopped. Not until he could hit the most womp rats as the hairy, monstrous little pests scurried through the canyon ravines and washes. Not until he had the fastest time flying through. This kid was more than happy to show the captain up and do it in Ben's honor. Luke destroyed the next two TIE fighters that had the misfortune of landing on his target screen. I'm in space, he thought over and over again. I'm doing it. And still, even watching the Imperial ships blow apart, he couldn't believe it. He couldn't wrap his mind around how much his life had changed in hours. Never mind days, weeks, years. Luke was shocked he didn't have whiplash.
There are still two more of them out there.
On it, Luke called.
Not if I get there first.
Han sounded like he was having just as much fun as Luke was. Swinging his chair around again, Luke kept his thumbs on the firing buttons. The gun vibrated his hands as he took careful aim at the TIE fighter, trying to strike at the Falcon from below. With a deep breath, he turned the laser onto the Imperial ship and watched, practically jumping out of his seat in excitement, when it blew apart. The last enemy dot on the radar disappeared as Han took out the remaining TIE fighter. The Falcon rumbled with the aftershock of the final explosion. And then, they were all clear. A relieved laugh burst out of Luke. We did it! We did it! He stood up from the gun port so fast, he was yanked back down by the cord of his headset. Untangling himself from the wire, he threw the headset down and climbed up the ladder just as Han was climbing down his. The smuggler clasped Luke's shoulder, grinning.
Nice shooting, kid. They teach you that out on the moisture farm?
Luke shook his head, his energy deflating. Han hadn't meant it as an insult. At least Luke didn't think he had. But the words still stung. He wasn't just some farm kid. He'd always wanted to be something more than that. They passed by Chewbacca, who was busy fishing C-3PO out from where he'd fallen into a compartment that must have flown open. R2 beeped at Chewie's side, urging him on.
It's terrible, isn't it? I'm maimed!
3PO's voice faded as they entered the cockpit.
Not a bad bit of rescuing, huh?
Han said, throwing his gloves onto the nearest seat. Luke trailed behind him, taking in the sight of Leia standing up from the pilot's seat and moving to one of the two in the back.
Sometimes I even amaze myself.
Leia leveled a look of utter contempt at Han.
That doesn't sound too hard.
Luke's heart lightened a bit at that. At least he wouldn't have to compete with Han for Leia's attention. As Uncle Owen had once explained, some creatures were just natural enemies. He couldn't leave the two of them alone. Not because he was afraid the smuggler would put the moves on Leia, but because he was genuinely worried they would eventually try clawing each other's faces off.
Besides,
Leia continued, raising her chin,
they let us go. It's the only explanation for the ease of our escape.
Easy?
Han repeated in disbelief as he slumped into the pilot's seat.
You call that easy?
They must be tracking us, hoping we lead them back to the rebellion.
Luke's blood slowed in his veins at that. He hadn't even considered it as a possibility. Maybe he really was just a dumb farm kid in need of a good hard reality check.
Not this ship, sister,
Han said, lacing his hands behind his head, all confidence. Luke could tell by the way she was struggling to control not only her expression, but also her tone, that Leia was frustrated.
At least the information in R2 is safe.
What's so important? What's he carrying?
The technical readouts of that battle station.
What? Luke said, almost leaping out of his seat in shock. He would never have let the R2 unit out of his sight if he'd known. He wasn't sure what he had thought the information vital to the survival of the rebellion she mentioned in her message was, but it hadn't been that.
I only hope that when the data is analyzed, a weakness can be found in the battle station's defenses. There has to be a way to destroy it. We still have a chance. This isn't over yet.
On suddenly looked like a wild animal that had been backed into a corner.
It is for me. I ain't in this for your revolution, and I expect to be well paid for my trouble.
Luke knew that his new friend wasn't exactly noble, and would never claim to be. But really? Disappointment thundered through him. Luke shook his head. After all that, it still boiled down to money? He couldn't have misread the guy that badly, could he?
I have my own problems to deal with,
Han muttered, looking back out toward the stars. Leia had been caught off guard by his response, and if Luke had thought she was angry before, it was nothing compared with now. Her voice was colder than the freezing vacuum of space.
You needn't worry about your reward. If money is all that you love, then that's what you'll receive.
That was the problem, wasn't it? Luke knew Han loved his credits, but that wasn't all he loved. Luke had seen real good in him. At least the potential for good, when he wasn't distracted by thoughts of his bank account. Han's smirk slipped, just for a second, as Leia turned and started toward the cockpit door.
Your friend is quite a mercenary,
she said to Luke, loudly enough to ensure that Han would hear.
I wonder if he really cares about anything or anyone.
I care, Luke called after her lamely.
Smooth, kid,
Han said with a chuckle. Luke flushed as he took Chewbacca's empty co-pilot chair. He could count the number of girls his age he'd known on Tatooine with one hand, and all of them had been taken. It was hard enough to figure out what to say to a girl, without her also being one of the most impressive people in the entire galaxy. Luke asked, trying to sound casual, What do you think of her? Han raised an eyebrow.
I'm trying not to, kid.
Good, Luke muttered under his breath.
Still, she's got a lot of spirit. I don't know. Do you think a princess and a guy like me?
No. Luke realized his mistake when he looked up from under his bangs and saw the teasing smile on Han's face. The smuggler was still laughing as he pushed the lever in front of him forward, sending the ship hurtling into hyperspace. Chapter 15. The fourth moon orbiting the planet Yavin was like something out of the storybooks Aunt Beru used to read to him. Back then, he'd been no taller than R2, and having seen nothing past the shimmering dunes outside his window, couldn't imagine what a tree looked like. His aunt had a soft, kind heart, compared with Uncle Owen's, which had been roughened and sandblasted by years of disappointments. One day when Uncle Owen had business in Mos Eisley, his aunt had taken him into Anchorhead, the nearest outpost town, to use the Holonet connection there. She'd brought up images of forests and rivers and oceans for him to marvel at. The three-dimensional pictures had floated in the space in front of him, but they hadn't felt real. He hadn't been able to touch or smell them. His heart went painfully tight in his chest at the thought of his aunt and uncle. Every time Luke closed his eyes, he could see what the stormtroopers had done to his family, to their homestead, when they had come looking for the droids. He honestly believed what he'd told Leia. He hadn't said it to make her feel better or to ease her guilt, knowing she was suffering from loss too. He would always believe that the only people to blame were the soldiers of the Empire. But Luke was sure he'd never forget the sickening feeling of dread that had overwhelmed him as he'd raced home from Ben's in his land speeder. Some part of him had known he was too late, but he'd kept hoping. "Just let me get there in time. Let it be someone else's farm. Let them be okay." A monstrous cloud of smoke, billowing from the burned-out shell of his home, had been visible from kilometers away. Black beacon against the sky. Too late. Luke hated those words. Too late. There'd been nothing left to do but bury the people who had raised him. Leia glanced over at him, as if sensing his thoughts. Without a word, she slid her hand into his and gave it a quick, tight squeeze. The small gesture was reassuring, but didn't settle his mind or help him break the cycle of his thoughts. In the rare moments when he wasn't wishing he had been home, that he could have protected his family, he remembered what Ben had said, that he would have been killed too. That didn't ease the throbbing hurt in his chest, but it did make him more determined than ever to make the most of his chance to destroy the Empire and everything it represented. First, though, the Rebellion would have to accept him. And that wasn't exactly guaranteed. The Falcon swept down through the soft, feathery clouds as they parted to reveal endless kilometers of thick, rich green. It was a shade Luke had never seen in his life, not even in clothes. The trees were so thick and packed together that Luke couldn't see through their leaves to the ground. For one horrible, embarrassing moment, Luke couldn't think of the word to describe it. Then Han came to his rescue.
"Jungle," Han groaned. "Hope everyone packed their bug spray."
"There."
Leia leaned between Chewbacca and Han, pointing to a silver lookout post and the uniformed soldier keeping guard there.
"They'll be in the temples, just beyond that... see?"
They were so focused on the towering dark stone pyramids that had just come into view, they missed the streak of red that shot out of a gun hidden in the trees. Everyone but Han was tossed out of his or her seat. Luke hauled himself up, spinning back toward the viewport. They were actually firing at the Falcon? So much for smooth introductions.
"Nice friends you've got, your worshipfulness,"
Han huffed, reaching for his comlink. Leia beat him to it, adjusting the frequency until she found the one she was looking for.
"This is..."
Leia paused, a look of deep sadness coming over her features. Luke leaned forward and briefly put a hand on her shoulder, but he was confused by her expression. She struggled to find the words.
"Leia Organa. Authorization code Delta Alpha Nu 55. Requesting permission to land."
There was a split second of silence that made Luke's hands tighten around his seat's armrests. Then shouts of joy exploded from the radio. The sound too loud and messy to pick apart what any of them was trying to say. Their growing excitement registered like a buzz in Luke's ears.
"Granted."
The voice that responded was deep, grave.
"Use the landing pad near the Eastern Temple. We'll tow you into the hangar."
"No need," Han said loudly. "We ain't staying."
Really? Luke thought, rubbing his hands over his face. Han wouldn't even entertain the thought for a few hours before splitting? Maybe. Maybe he just didn't understand what they were fighting for. He shared an exasperated look with Leia as she spoke to the captain through the comm. There was time to work on Han, make him see how important he could be in the fight. But first, Luke leaned toward the viewport, resting his arms on the back of Chewbacca's chair. He was trying to absorb the jungle, the temples, the signs of power generators and laser defenses, all in one deep gulp, rather than letting them warm him slowly, the way a solar panel took in the sun. Luke bit his lip, not wanting to embarrass himself by asking Leia a million questions at once, especially not when she had gone quiet and seemed lost in her thoughts. Of course. To her, this setting was typical, wasn't it? She was used to being in the thick of the fight. Luke was going to have to work not to show exactly how green he really was. The leaders of the rebellion would never let him fly if they knew how small his world had been the day before.
Play it cool, he ordered himself, leaning back in his seat. Don't think about how they probably prefer someone older, with more flying time under his belt. Someone like Han, who was still acting like he didn't care if anyone on the rebellion lived or died, as long as he got his credits. Luke let his frustration rise before stamping it out. He was as good a pilot as Han. He just needed the chance to prove it. The Falcon settled softly on a cleared patch of soggy mud, sinking the last few centimeters. Leia waited only long enough for Han and Chewbacca to start the shutdown procedures before she stood, smoothed her hair and dress, and made her way back to the droids. Luke stood and followed her back through the ship, toward the hatch.
This place is something else.
The Rebellion likes to use pre-existing structures on remote planets. It makes us harder to track if we can pick up and leave at any moment,
Leia explained, leaning against the hatch door.
These temples were built by the Misasi race thousands of years ago, and they're still standing. Hard to believe.
Hard to believe was right. Most structures on Tatooine lasted only a few years before they were buried by dunes or blasted by sandstorms. Had he ever seen something so old?
Luke's next question was interrupted by Han and Chewbacca coming down the ship's hall.
All right, let's get this over with,
Han said, checking the straps on his holster.
Looks like there's a nice welcoming committee coming out to meet us.
Leia put her hands on her hips.
Is that why you're checking to make sure your blaster is charged? Why don't you wait here, and I'll have the money brought out to you? That way you don't have to waste any more of your precious time with our lost cause.
Luke was surprised to see that Han glanced over at him, frowning, before responding.
Well, I'd like to check the place and make sure that... Well, I mean, can't a guy protect his investment? I want to see the money loaded myself.
Fine. Anything to get you moving faster,
Leia said, hitting the button for the hatch. For a moment, Luke was afraid she'd jump down into the mud just to get away from the captain, instead of waiting for the boarding ramp to deploy.
Have we arrived, Master Luke?
3PO shuffled up behind him, R2 repeating the question in a low pattern of beeps.
We sure have,
Luke said, resting a hand on R2's domed head and looking down at the little droid.
Didn't think you'd make it, did you?
Safe haven at last.
Yeah, we'll see about that,
Han muttered, waving Luke and the droids forward.
These temples look one strong gust of wind away from crumbling into dust.
And Han thought Luke was overly critical. Luke stepped out of the cooled, temperature-controlled ship and into a wall of moisture and heat. The air actually clung to his skin, climbing up his arms and neck like the thick green vines on the temples. By the time he made it down the ramp, his tunic was sticking to his shoulders and back as if he'd run a mile under a scorching sun.
Makes you miss the dry heat back home, huh?
Han said.
No, Luke said. I'd never miss that place. Not for anything.
Two transport speeders were parked a short distance from the ship. At the sight of Leia striding toward them, a man jumped out.
Your Highness, thank the heavens.
It's good to see you,
Leia said, when Luke and the others had caught up.
But time is of the essence. We need to download the information off that astromech droid. Where's Commander Willard?
Waiting for you inside the Great Temple.
The second transport speeder bucked slightly under their combined weight, but they all managed to squeeze in.
Wedged between Han and the furry mountain that was Chewbacca, Luke had to lean way back to see the jungle as it streamed by in shades of lush green. Flowers bloomed in every color, dripping from the trees, carpeting the ground. Every one of them seemed to strain out of the shade of the trees toward the sunlight filtering through the dense canopy. The chirping of bugs and... oh, wow! Birds! Birds that were singing rather than just picking the meat off old bantha carcasses. Were there other animals up in the trees? Luke had the unsettling feeling they were being watched, but it might have just been the guards stationed up on the platforms poking out of the jungle. Instead of stopping at the base of the crumbling stairs leading up into the great temple, their driver brought them around back to where a long hangar door had been installed. Luke slid out of the seat, crossing his arms over his chest to hide how much his hands were shaking. Lay it cool. Lay it cool. The damp heat was just as smothering inside the hangar as outside, but there was so much more to distract him from it. Sparks showered down from fighter ships as technicians worked on them. Pilots milled around in orange jumpsuits. There were droids everywhere. Between the metallic banging of ships being hammered back into their proper shapes and engines being tested, Luke couldn't hear himself think. The smell of oil and gas was everywhere, filling his chest. He loved it. It was everything he had pictured. And still, it was also somehow more. Now Luke had to keep his arms crossed over his chest just to stop himself from bolting over to the cluster of men and women in orange jumpsuits weaving through the towering fighter ships. They were incredible pieces of work, and that they'd clearly been banged up a bit in past fights only made them more beautiful in Luke's eyes. That one, he thought, passing a ship with a long body and four laser cannons mounted on its wings. That one's gonna be mine. Ben was right. There had to be some kind of bigger force at work guiding his life, because if he'd gone off and entered the academy, he wouldn't be there now. And where he was, that felt right.
Nice collection of tech you've got here, Princess, Han said. Anything that wasn't built before you were born?
Leia spun on her heel, her eyes flashing again as she rounded on Han. Luke whirled to face him in disbelief. Was he blind? The place was incredible. The energy in the hangar alone could have powered an entire fleet.
You're so high on yourself and that hunk of junk you call a ship that you'll never understand that every victory we've had is due to the hearts of our pilots and their support on the ground,
Leia said coldly. Han stood head and shoulders over her, but he might as well have been facing down a Star Destroyer. She somehow made herself seem that big, that terrifying. Han stared at her in shock.
If all you have to stand up against the planet-blasting battle station are a bunch of bleeding hearts, you guys are in more trouble than I thought.
Leia! Princess Leia!
Whatever response was on the tip of Leia's tongue fell away when she heard her name. A middle-aged man with graying hair rushed up to them, his tan coat flying out behind him. Luke cast a covert eye over the man, trying to figure out his rank. Leia filled in the blank.
Commander Willard!
Leia threw her arms around him. The man looked momentarily overcome with emotion.
When we heard about Alderaan, we were afraid that you were lost, along with your father. How are you holding up?
We don't have time for our sorrows, Commander,
Leia said, pulling away from the circle of his arms.
I have no doubt the Empire is tracking us here.
He nodded grimly as he looked among Han, Chewbacca, and Luke.
Is General Kenobi with you? Your father mentioned you'd seek him out after intercepting the plans.
Luke looked down at the mud-splattered toes of his boots, swallowing something hard and painful in his throat. Was it always going to be like that? Someone would just say Ben's name and it would feel like a punch to his throat? Han clapped a hand on his shoulder and gave it a squeeze. Luke barely felt it. He should be here too, Luke thought, glancing around him again. Ben would have been thrilled to see everyone working together. He was the one they really needed. not some young rookie dazzled by the sight of repair droids.
General Kenobi was killed, Commander,
Leia said, glancing at Luke.
He bravely sacrificed his life so we could escape the Death Star.
Chewbacca made a small, mournful noise.
The Death Star? Commander Willard repeated. They held you there?
She nodded.
We'll be able to give you our observations of what we saw inside, but the important thing is that the technical readouts are on this R2 unit. We need to have the technicians download it so we can start analyzing it immediately. It might be our only chance of defending ourselves when the Death Star comes into Yavin 4's orbit.
It was like Leia had dropped Commander Willard in the middle of a sandstorm. He suddenly looked very lost and more than a little afraid. Luke would have felt sorry for him if it hadn't been so obvious they were unprepared. Yes, they had ships, and pilots too, by the look of it. All they seemed to be lacking was faith.
We're badly unprepared for battle, Your Highness. Perhaps we should evacuate instead. Here.
Commander Willard motioned to two nearby technicians.
Take this droid into the command center and download any information he has about the Death Star.
The two women accompanied the droid away as Commander Willard led the group farther into the temple. Luke was jostled as streams of rebels pushed up and down the hall around them, all of them in a hurry to get somewhere. He wanted to go where they were going. He wanted to get to work and stop standing around arguing.
There isn't time, Commander. If we fail to stop the Death Star now, other planets will be annihilated.
I understand that, but we're short-staffed on pilots, trained or otherwise.
Leia looked right at Luke.
Well, you have at least one more right here,
she said, motioning toward him. Luke was so shocked at how quickly the topic had come up, he almost choked on his own spit. He practically shouted, Yes, I can fly.
A crop duster, maybe, Han scoffed. But one of these snub fighters?
Luke turned toward Han, glaring. So what? The fight against the TIE fighters hadn't proven he could handle himself in battle? Or that he was at least a fast learner? Luke knew the hardest part of getting in the cockpit would be convincing everyone else he was ready for it. But for some reason, he'd expected Han to believe in him. Chewbacca shoved at Han's shoulder, but the captain ignored it.
He's fast on his feet and has amazing reflexes. He mounted the rescue for me in a matter of moments, and...
She turned back to Luke.
You got us across that bridge without blinking an eye, remember?
Luke ducked his head, trying to hide the flush spreading across his face. While they were on the Death Star, after they had been separated from Han, he'd managed to lead Leia right into some kind of large air shaft. The bridge had already been retracted, the controls blasted out by laser rifle fire, creating a distance between the two doors that was too far to jump. Luke had hooked some of the rope from his utility belt onto one of the rafters, said a little prayer, and swung them both across.
We wouldn't have gotten off the Death Star if Han and Chewbacca hadn't been there to help, Luke said, rubbing the back of his neck. I didn't do it alone.
Han?
Commander Willard looked confused.
Oh, the captain here.
Yeah, Han said. The captain. A real pleasure to meet you and all, but I'm going to skip ahead in this story to the finale. I was hired by Luke and this General Kenobi to shuttle them to Alderaan and promised a reward for bringing everyone here. I have no interest in your revolution, just in getting what I'm owed. I believe the number was 17,000 credits.
Commander Willard's skin went a chalky white.
Han!
Luke could have throttled him for being so rude. He really couldn't wait a few hours to bring up money?
We don't keep that sort of money lying around, Commander Willard said. And this is... We need every cent to keep up our operations.
I'm willing to accept the amount in precious metals if you don't have the credits on hand,
Han said, crossing his arms over his chest.
Come on, pal. You don't want word to get around that the Rebellion can't honor their debts, do you? No one would be willing to do business with you.
We do, but...
Commander Willard looked at Leia again, clearly confused. He'd been expecting an ally. If Luke had to guess, another new recruit. Luke was surprised at how bitter his own disappointment tasted. Some part of him had hoped that Han would change his mind when he saw what the rebels were up against. But there was still time to try to convince him. Luke couldn't understand a word of what Chewbacca said to Han next, but the past day had taught him to read the Wookiee's moods by his tone and expression, and Luke thought he might actually have an ally in Han's co-pilot.
"Give him whatever he wants,"
Leia said stiffly. The look she shot Han could have incinerated half the Death Star.
"The sooner he gets it, the sooner he's gone."
That was exactly what Luke was afraid of.
Chapter 16. Luke hadn't really expected them just to assign him one of their fighters. X-Wings, they were called, because of the way their wings were situated on either side of the cockpit. But he also hadn't expected a full-fledged test.
"You said you have some piloting experience?"
The technician accompanying Luke seemed irritated to have been pulled away from his work. He hadn't even had a moment to wipe the grease from his face before striding over at Commander Willard's order.
"Some," Luke said. His T-16 Skyhopper wasn't nearly as large as an X-Wing, or half as well equipped. But he could figure it out, he hoped. Maybe. "Yes," he thought, forcing himself to stand up straighter. "Yes, you can figure it out. Nothing to it. Just try."
Well, we're sending out pilots who barely know to use the joystick to steer, so you can't be that much of a lost cause."
That was not reassuring. Luke mopped at the sweat collecting on the back of his neck. Maybe Han was right, and the situation was a lot more desperate than Luke had thought.
"Are you running the test?" Luke asked.
"No, I just set it up. One of the Red Squadron. Those would be the X-Wing pilots. Bunch of hot shots and quick triggers. We'll come over and oversee your test."
Luke nodded, his nerves trilling inside his stomach. He needed to get a grip. The simulator was tucked away in one of the far corners of the hangar. It looked like the interior of an X-Wing cockpit had been lifted out of its shell and hooked up to a large monitor. Luke's heart about jumped out of his chest with excitement at the sight. A chart had been strung up on the wall beside it. A list of names. The pilots, Luke realized, and their scores on the simulator. A small table and computer had been set up nearby. A dark-haired man wearing a rumpled orange jumpsuit was bent over the table, studying something on the screen.
"Wedge," the technician called. "Here's your new recruit."
When the pilot turned around, Luke stopped in his tracks. He'd been painfully aware of how young he was compared with the middle-aged pilots hanging around the ships, watching him pass. But this pilot looked even younger than he was. A grin broke across Wedge's face as he stuck out a hand toward Luke.
"Wedge Antilles, nice to meet you."
Luke remembered a half-second too late that he was supposed to shake the pilot's hand.
"Luke Skywalker."
"Good luck,"
the technician said to Luke, not bothering to offer any words of wisdom before he jetted away, back to his repairs.
"So, what's the deal here?"
Luke asked, running his hand along the back of the simulator seat.
"How do I pass?" "Eager to get up into the stars, huh?" "I know that feeling." Luke didn't doubt for a second that Wedge did.
He felt himself relax, but couldn't tear his eyes away from the machine.
"The simulator is set to full combat mode. There's no passing, not exactly," Wedge said, leaning back against the table. "This computer right here will measure things like your response time, your shooting accuracy, and, you know, how long you manage to stay in the fight before being shot down."
"I'm not going to get shot down," Luke told him, crossing his arms over his chest. Wedge laughed.
"All right. I like that spirit. Let's get you set up."
Luke practically leapt into the cockpit seat, not caring for a single second about what Wedge thought. He settled back against the old, cracked leather, taking a deep breath as he buckled himself in.
You don't need to do that," Wedge said. "You aren't leaving the ground. It's all a simulation." "I want it to feel as real as possible."
That was the only way to really prove he was ready.
"Whatever you say."
The pilot handed him a large white helmet with a yellow visor and Alliance decals all over it.
This will pipe in sounds. Just a warning, real battle is about 100 times louder. Got it.
Luke slipped the helmet on, adjusting the chin strap. His hands were shaking a little now as he fumbled with the clasp. Everything was riding on this test. If he failed, well, Luke refused to be grounded for good.
But it wouldn't help the rebellion if he had to stay out of this fight and wait to be trained, hoping the Death Star didn't blow them all into dust in the meantime.
Wedge leaned into the cramped cockpit space.
You steer with a joystick, the proton torpedo switch is the button at the top, lasers are... I got it,
Luke huffed.
Just start the simulation.
Holding up his hands, Wedge backed away and turned to the computer. Luke took a deep breath, filling his chest with the hot, fuel-tinged air. The screen in front of him blinked once, twice, three times, then a battle exploded around him. There were TIE fighters screaming in his ears, zooming across his screen so quickly Luke couldn't track them with his eyes. He didn't realize the simulator was equipped for shock and movement until he took his first hit of enemy fire. The cockpit rattled him so hard he thought it might have knocked